Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Emmanuel Sanders, supposed to stop by the Bills. I was asked to rank the top five quarterbacks left in the NFL to show you how much talent there is. Aaron Rodgers probably wins the MVP. And I think he's the third most talented quarterback this weekend. I think Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are more talented. Doesn't mean they're as good at the line. Doesn't mean I trust them on a big throw. You're just saying talent, size, move, arm. I mean, Aaron had this moment before Mahomes and Allen got in the league when for 8 years, he was the most talented quarterback. Aaron Rodgers can't do a lot of what Josh can do. He just can't do it.
It's an interesting word.
6'6".
I think he would disagree with you.
Oh, he would. But I'm saying Josh can do things with his feet that nobody in the league can do. Except even Lamar can get knocked over. Josh will run over you.
So how would you rank him if it was the best, like overall?
Well, if you're... It's Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, Brady, Burrow. I think Burrow in the last... 8 games of this year has gone from like him a lot to, oh, like he's a top 6 quarterback in the league. I think he's, right now today, he's playing at a higher level than Matt Stafford.
Is it in reverse, Jimmy is the lowest and then Tannehill?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Jimmy is the low. It goes back and forth. I think Jimmy's a better late game quarterback than Tannehill, but Tannehill's bigger, stronger, he's more mobile.
He definitely has better legs than Jimmy.
No, but I mean, we don't do a lot of rankings on this stuff, right?
No.
Like we don't do a ton of rankings, but when you start listing all the quarterbacks in the NFL, like it's hard now. Like, what do I do with Brady? He's in big games, he's as good as any. What do I do with him? Like Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, Brady.
Like I have to put Brady above Allen.
Okay.
So, like if we're just doing best.
But I mean,
like how the word that you use, like who's the most valuable? I think you have to go.
If I said this, how about this? How about this? You can start tomorrow. You're a general manager, and you get you got a 5-year contract. So in a
5-year
window, who do you pick to be a quarterback? I'll tell you right now, you're gonna think I'm crazy. I'd take Josh Allen because he has no injury history. He's bigger and more mobile, as good an arm. And I don't think he's hit his peak yet. I think Mahomes is in his peak, and it's great. I think Allen has another
gear.
For
5 years, I think I have to go Mahomes.
Okay, I would go 1 Allen, 2 Mahomes. I'm telling you.
Allen hasn't won anything.
I think I would go Burrow 3, Justin Herbert 4.
Aaron Rodgers is still pretty good.
I don't want – I'm not picking on him. I don't want the drama. I know he's great, but he's going to be 39 – and I'm just not, he's great, but you're telling me I got a 5-year window. So at the end of that window, I got a 43-year-old, 44-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
My only thing is for the next 5 years, I can go with someone who's won something. So like I would go with Mahomes. I would go with Russell Wilson.
Oh, I think Allen's great. Josh Allen's nuts.
He is. He's incredibly talented, but he has not won anything yet.
So I'm saying, so my 5. Let me write this down right now. I'm a GM because you know I always wanted to be a GM.
Yes.
So I have a 5-year window. So I have to consider all the years. I'm not taking Brady, obviously.
A 5-year window eliminates Brady.
I think I'd take Josh Allen 1, Patrick Mahomes 2. Justin Herbert is a bigger, stronger. I'm going to go Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. They're deadlocked to me. I worry about Burrow's had that brutal injury. Absolutely worry about that. Burrow, Herbert, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Joe Burrow.
Where's Russell Wilson?
Right there, number 5. That's who I take. And they're all pretty close. Now it's I got nothing against Tom. He's 44. Aaron's going to be 39 after the year. So you'd want me to take Aaron 39, 40, 41, 42, 43.
5 years is...
And also, I have to consider everything here. Only one of these guys right now is a big cap hit, Russell Wilson.
Oh, we're considering cap hit too?
Well, I'm considering everything. I mean, Joe Burrow's injury, Herbert has no injuries. That's something. If it's close, Herbert's bigger, stronger with no injuries.
I don't think you have to consider cap hit. Like, you can move the contract around.
That's it. That's my five.
I got to put Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes higher.
All right. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, Russell Wilson.
And I got to put Burrow above Herbert as well because he's made the playoffs with the Bengals.
It's a lot of wow here.
Splitting hairs because they're all great. Future's bright.
I feel like I'm missing something. Like, a prime example. So, you know, like Deshaun, I don't want the baggage, his stuff. Kyler, here's a great example with Kyler Murray. We both like Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
He's gotten hurt back-to-back years. I worry about that. And he stopped that Rams game, he wouldn't run. Well, that tells me it's in his head. He doesn't want to get hit. Something's going on with Kyler because there's no way Cliff Kingsbury said, you know what we're going to do this game? No running for you. So that was a Kyler decision. And a lot of his running is ad-libbed. He just decided, I'm not running. Okay, so now it's a little bit in his head.
Where do you put Matthew Stafford?
It's a great question. It's six. I'm just doing this off the top of my head.
These are our production meetings.
I think Matt Stafford, you know, and then as a GM, you say, what about Aaron Rodgers? Then I get into 6-7. I get into Aaron where it's a big cap hit. I got some injuries. There's a lot of drama, but I know he's going to be great for three of those 5 years.
I've always wanted to be an owner. So maybe I'm thinking from that perspective.
I want to be a GM. You want to be an owner.
I would have to take Mahomes and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Because I know they can win at the biggest stage. I know they have huge brands.
Okay, so this, you think when you look at this list, you're like calling your anti-Aaron. If I have a five-year window, Aaron, I'm a new GM.
If I get great Aaron Rodgers for 3 years.
By the third year, I have to draft a quarterback, and we know what happens when you draft a quarterback with Aaron.
I mean, after 3 years, it's all right. I've got my 3 years.
I'm
willing to deal with drama if it means winning.
I think it's
that
so,
kind of drama.
So hard to find a quarterback. I don't want to 3 to 4 years from now search for another one. All these guys will be around in five. I just want to be a GM, give me my star quarterback, and he's going to fundamentally, I'm building everything around him. I don't think Aaron would be in my top five.
So what if you're an owner? You're like, I get 3 good years of Aaron Rodgers, 1 championship, but I know out of the third year into the fourth year, it's going to be so much drama.
I'm not interested. But that's my personality. Like I told you before, Baker Mayfield's a franchise quarterback. I would take him off my board.
Oh, but I'm not talking about Baker Mayfield. I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking about the first ballot Hall of Famer.
I have a rule in my life. This is my rule for the volume of my company. It's my rule here. It's my rule for guests. I don't babysit men. If you're needy, I'm out. Like, I could never, ever have a Hollywood friend. I can't deal with needy. My friends are like normal people with normal jobs. I can't do needy people. So Aaron, to me, is too much needy, too much drama, too much maintenance, too prickly. There's too much walking on eggshells. I'm not interested. He's great. But by the way, you say you're guaranteed championships. He's been a starter for 14 years. I got one.
No, I'm saying in this make-believe scenario, I have a team that's ready to win right now, like a Tampa Bay Bucks, and I know I'm going to have them for 5 years. 3 of the years, we're going to make 2 NFC championship games, and I'm going to win 1 Super Bowl.
And 4 of my 5 guys are considered really easy to coach. Burrow, Herbert, Mahomes, Allen. Easy to coach. Russell's not as easy to coach. Aaron's difficult to coach. So if I'm the GM, I want a quarterback that he's either in his prime or going into it. I don't want a lot of injuries. I want him to be able to move some, but mostly a pocket guy. All my guys can move. But I don't want him to be runners, but I want him to be able to move. One is a punitive cap hit. So as a general manager with Russell, I got to figure out a way around his salary. It's like an $18 million cap hit. So I would consider as a GM that. With Aaron, I get a huge cap hit. He's older. There's a lot of drama. And I got 1 Super Bowl. With him. That's it.
Aaron's not at the top of the list. Mahomes is at the top of the list. Mahomes is the lock. You know he's a winner. You know he's great. He can move. He's smart. He's a great brand. He's family guy. Never in trouble. Always says the right thing. Great leader. Like, he is the total 100% yeah. package. I don't think we would get along as an owner and a GM. We might butt heads a little bit.
Well, you'd be the typical owner. You'd be flipping flopping around looking to sell jerseys.
No, I'm not a flip flopper. I would pay whatever it takes to get the best personnel in. Money is no object. Best facilities, best everything, best staff.
I am very much a non-meddler. I'm a hire good people and get out of their
way. Yeah, I would not meddle.
So I always feel like with Aaron, I'd have to constantly go, okay, I got to have a sit down with a coach. I got to have a sit down with a coordinator. If I have to ever ask this question, how's the quarterback dealing with it? I feel like it's just like my friends. Like if I ever have to do anything in my life and I have to like, if my wife invites me to a party and I'm like, oh God, it's a walking on eggshells party. I'm out.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's not my personality.
I don't know if I could do that either. I'm thinking about it because I don't deal with any of that.
I've literally dropped friends who tip poorly and they're high maintenance. I can't deal with it. If you tip poorly, done. I'll leave right in the middle of the, you know, friendship.
No, you said something earlier about Anne. I know we have the same birthday. You said she holds on to lines. She can hold it for years. We're slow kills. We wait.
Capricorn?
Yeah, me and Anne have the same birthday.
Yeah.
We have a lot of similarities.
Slow kills.
Yes.
All right, doesn't sound great for me. Manscaped currently offering a performance package 4.0 complete grooming kit. Start the new year, 20% off, free shipping. Go to manscaped.com, code HERD.
Be sure to catch live editions of The HERD weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
One of my favorite guys in the league is Emmanuel Sanders. He's just a grown-up. Every place he goes, he's productive. He figures the playbook out in about 45 minutes. And a two-time Pro Bowler, champion with the Broncos in Denver, 12th year. Now he's a Buffalo Bill, a perfect fit this year. 42 catches, 650 yards, 4 touchdowns. You know, it's funny. You played with big men, and Josh Allen's comp is Big Ben. I mean, when Big Ben came in, he was moving around, guys bouncing off him. And as great as Big Ben was, I look at Josh Allen, and I'm like, oh, he's faster than Big Ben. Like, he moves way better than Big Ben. Go to your first practice with Josh Allen. Did you go, the hell is this? What is this?
I remember OTAs, Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator. I was down just hanging with Steph and Bees, and he goes, Emmanuel, I want you to come down and run a couple routes with this guy because he throws the ball different. I was like, football is a football. Like, what is this guy talking about? So we go down and run routes, and I just hear, like, the zip on the ball. I was like, oh, man, this is the real deal. And then probably like 3 or 4 practices in, it was just throw to Cole Beasley. It was probably like a 40-yard post route down the field. And most guys, like they have to put some type of air on that ball to get it there. And I mean, Josh, just a flick of the wrist. And I mean, just on a rope, just 40 yards. And I look around and I'm looking around and I'm looking at everybody seeing if they're like surprised by it. But nobody's surprised by it but me. Because everybody's kind of just used to those type of throws. And I'm like, I've been around the league a long time. That's not a normal throw, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's when I knew. I knew he was different. And then you go back to our previous matchup with the Chiefs of, you know, every game he's making these dual threat plays. But the leap over the guy versus the Chiefs was one of the best plays, you know, I've ever seen from a quarterback, you know?
Listen, Belichick isn't humiliated much. Did you sense during that game from defensive players of the Patriots, did you just sense the, man, this is, there's nothing we can do? I mean, can you sense sometimes, not a defeatism, but sort of a frustration from a defense that there's just, we don't have answers for this team?
No, I really didn't sense it because I was too busy having a good time with my guys. I mean, that was one of the funnest games I've been a part of. You know, I got home with my dad. My dad was like, it was like Oprah. He was like, you'll get a touchdown. 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 It was just, it was one of the best games. And then going, you know, walking around, you know, Buffalo, I took my son to basketball practice and all the parents was saying how, you know, that was one of the greatest games in Buffalo history. And they like the energy of it. And, man, it was exciting times to be a Bill. But, you know, at the same time, we got to put that behind us and try to repeat that same performance again and try to go out and execute in Kansas City.
By the way, Kansas City and Buffalo are similar. Great GMs, great quarterbacks. super smart coaches that know their way around the league, big-time weapons on the outside, defenses that are peaking at the right time of the year. Neither one of you have profound running games, but you got talented running backs. When you play Kansas City, does it feel a little bit like I'm playing my twin brother? This is a little bit what we are.
Yeah, 100%. Like, even if you look at the similarities of the quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys that I always tell, anytime you play against Patrick Mahomes, you be ready to play four quarters of football. I mean, you remember, you know, that playoff game versus the Texans. Everybody thought the Texans had it. Next thing you know, this guy just comes back. And, you know, me playing with the Broncos, you know, I faced him a few times. And I know that the guy is the real deal, Holyfield. And he's one of those guys that when he's on the field, you're like, man, get to this guy and get him off the field ASAP. He reminds me of, you know, when I used to play against Tom Brady. Like, let's sack him and get off the field, you know. And it's crazy because now I'm on a team with a quarterback that, you know, the Chiefs are probably thinking the exact same thing, right? Like, let's get to Josh Allen. Let's sack this guy. Let's get this guy off the field. And it's crazy how similar we are as teams. But, you know, ultimately it's going to come down to making plays, and that's what we got to do on Sunday.
Yeah. By the way, here's Josh Allen after the win over the Patriots joking about his offensive linemen catching touchdowns and you. Here's Josh Allen.
This guy.
I'm sick for Emmanuel Sanders because he's played 100 years in this league, and tonight was his first playoff touchdown. Tommy Doyle plays one game and gets a touchdown. He's a freaking lineman, so.
Yeah, that's a it is. I want to say this, though, about playing in Buffalo. There's an argument to be made that Green Bay and Buffalo love their players more than any city in the country. Have you felt it? I mean, because Pittsburgh's got a hockey team and a baseball team and a major university. In Buffalo, you got a hockey team, but it is a Bills town. Do you sense, can you feel that love from the fans to the team?
Oh, 100%. I mean, every city I've been in, Denver, right? They got the Nuggets, they got everything, but the Broncos was the main team, but they had other teams. This city, it's Bills, Bills, and more Bills, right? And you feel it everywhere. Like, they love their team out here. And, I mean, they know the players. They know they watch the interviews. Like, they're really into their team and into the players on the team. And, I mean, you look at the tailgate. Even from a tailgate standpoint, they're jumping through tables and they're having a good time. And, you know, man, one of my greatest achievements, honestly, would be, it would be – incredible feeling to bring a Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl to this city, because it deserves it. It deserves it bad. And the fans, these are exciting times for the fans, and it's exciting times for myself as well. So hopefully we can do that for the fans.
You know, it's interesting, Emmanuel. I was talking about this with OBJ the other day. I said, I'll never tell an athlete to take less money, but it's such a good fit in LA. He's got a place here, his girlfriend, it's chill. They don't, you know, Cooper Kupp's taking away some coverage. And I look at you at Buffalo, and you've made some great money. Stephon Diggs is getting doubles. You're going to get looks. The quarterback's great. He's going to be great for 10 years. You're going to get options. Everybody wants an Emmanuel Sanders. A guy comes in, learns the playbook, total grown-up, can be productive. You'll always have options. But I was saying the other day about OBJ, this may be one of the rare times if I was an agent, I'd say, you know, dude, you did the young quarterback thing in Cleveland. You did the old quarterback thing in New York with Eli. You may just want to stick around with the Rams and take a nickel less. Do you ever think about Buffalo and think to yourself, man, this thing could be like 6 years. It's not slowing down. You got the GM, you got the coach, you got the quarterback. Most of your stars are young. Do you think about stuff like that?
100%. You know, I tell Steph and Gabe the exact same thing. I tell Steph, I say, if you look around the league, or if you just look in just history, you show me a Hall of Fame receiver, I show you a Hall of Fame quarterback. And Josh had his ceiling is that high that he can be that special. And, you know, it'd be an extremely smart choice to stick around and have a quarterback. You know, everybody always asks me how have I lasted so long in the league, and it's because I've always picked and choose, not taking the money. I've always picked and choose, like, what is the best fit, because I know I need a quarterback. Right. And I want to be on teams where I can win, right? Because winning, like just brings so much happiness to me. Like I can go and take a lot of money and then I'm losing on a team, but for me, like, that's not gonna do it for me because it's gonna bother me emotionally. I love winning, and so definitely you want to go to a place where you got a great coach. And just a great organization in general, right? Our GM, Brandon Bean, is one of the best. Our head coach, Sean McDermott, is one of the best. And you can tell that they're bringing in the right guys and the right nucleus of guys to get the job done. So definitely want to stick around and have a quarterback. If you have a quarterback, you can make things happen. But if you don't have a quarterback, you can be wide open or you can do this. But if you and that quarterback aren't on the same page, good luck.
Yep, you've had Ben, now Josh Allen, you've had Peyton Manning, you've had Drew Brees, you've had Garoppolo, and it's great seeing you again. Happy for your happiness, you're crushing. Congrats on the TD, and we will talk again. I love having you on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Kyle.
Emmanuel Sanders, Buffalo Bill wide receiver. They really are a well-run organization. You know, I want to be a GM. It's the first thing I look at. Do you have a competent GM? There's a lot of arguments to be made. Quarterbacks are the most important thing in this league. The best quarterback won every division. There are a lot of people that think the GM is the second most important person. The coach is third. A coach can only do what they can do. I mean, as great as Belichick is, they got limitations. Belichick's drafting hurts Belichick's coaching. And there are a lot of people, I talk to them all the time, it's like, quarterback's the guy. You got to have the guy. You can mess up a lot of stuff with a bad personnel guy. And a good coach suddenly gets really good with the right quarterback and the right GM. It's amazing how that works. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, sticking with that Bills-Chiefs matchup, it will be a rematch of last season's AFC Championship game, Mahomes and the Chiefs on Sunday night. And Allen had an incredible performance in that wild card game over the Patriots. And Mahomes, though, it will be a tough head-to-head with him this weekend.
He's a tremendous player. I actually know him a little bit off the field as well. Great dude. They put a lot on his shoulders, and he rises to the occasion. I mean, he's able to run the ball. He can throw the ball. He has the arm strength to throw anywhere on the football field, and he makes great decisions. So, like you said, we'll probably play them a lot of times. It'll be great competition. It's definitely a great challenge for us as a team to compete with them.
Josh Allen said the Chiefs are what the Bills aspire to be.
That's right, more consistent. So, and that's what they should aspire, because the Bills tend to be a little hot and cold. I mean, lost to the Jags, they lost to the Steelers. They can get, remember when Kansas City was struggling? They were still winning.
Well, also, you never had the feeling with the Chiefs that they weren't going to be able to figure it out.
Right, right.
Now, a little bit of the overreaction when they got it back on pace. Like, whoa, the Chiefs are back. And nobody said they weren't.
Yeah.
Like, you're allowed to go through some lulls throughout the season.
They were beating bad teams narrowly, but they were winning.
But they also just didn't look right.
That's right.
So, but that's what the Bills need to get over, as Josh Allen said, what they aspire to be. They had some dud games this season. You mentioned the Jags. They lost 9-6. He threw 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Week 11 against the Colts. Third lowest passer rating of the season in that game with 72.2.
They lost to the Steelers
to the
in
Patriots,
the opener.
Patriots 14 to 10. They lost to the Falcons. He threw 0 touchdowns and 3 interceptions and had a 17 passer rating in that game. So he's had some inconsistencies throughout the season. Last week was obviously an incredible performance. And as Emmanuel was just saying, like, they're on a high right now, as they should be. That was a great performance. And you want to, you know, put up that same effort against the Chiefs. I think this will be a great game. I don't anticipate that the Bills are going to go off a cliff.
The network, the NFL is telling you what they think of the games. The NFL says, we think Mahomes Allen is the last game played. That's going to be the big one. We think Burrow and the Titans, Bengals Titans, are smaller brands. That's the first game played. And then they wanted the Packers at night, but they think that game, what the NFL's telling you is the two big games for the NFL are the number one is Mahomes Allen Sunday night, and number two is Aaron Rodgers at home against the Niners on Saturday night. Those night games, ad rates, big money.
Well, also, I mean, that's the biggest spread is the Niners-Packers, as it should be. But those are two massive brands and massive markets. And all the games are going to be great this weekend. I'm really looking forward to that Burrow-Tennessee matchup, actually. Like, I think it's going to be a great game. So the Packers have Super Bowl aspirations after falling short the last two seasons. They have back-to-back losses in the NFC Championship game. And Aaron Jones thinks it's time they capitalize on their playoff position. He said, we've been right here for the last 2 years. We've put in all this work. I genuinely feel like the time is now. It's definitely going to hurt if it doesn't turn our way, but I'm a true believer in speaking things into existence and manifesting it and praying about it, so I believe it will go our way. Their last three seasons, last season they lost to the Bucks in the NFC Championship game. The year before, 2019, they lost to the Niners in the NFC Championship game. And the year before that was the year that McCarthy got fired. They finished with a 6-9-1 record and missed the playoffs. So he's right. They've been right there the last two seasons. It does feel like this might be Green Bay's year to get over that.
They're healthy.
They're healthy. They had the bye.
Jair Alexander's going to play as Darius Smith.
Aaron's had an incredible season.
Bakhtiari's at left tackle. They should be favored. And they are, and I still think they'll win by a touchdown. I cannot envision them losing.
I can't see them losing either. I obviously, the Niners' health is going to be a factor, but it feels like that this point in the season for the Niners feels like how I felt about the Raiders last week, which is incredible season. You've overcome a lot, but it kind of feels like at one point or another, you're not going to just keep overcoming things. Like, eventually you're going to run into a good team who's going to take advantage of the situation, and that feels like the Packers this weekend. So Baker Mayfield is on the road to recovery after undergoing shoulder surgery yesterday. The Browns expect him to be back in 4 to 6 months, and he posted a video saying he's ready to get back to his normal self.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to check in. Surgery went great. Was a complete success. Had a great medical team that took care of me, and checked that box off to get this fixed, and now it's on the way to, you know, the road to recovery. This is one of those steps to get back to my true self. This past year hasn't been very easy. This is not the end of my story. It's just going to be one of those little things that I'll look back and remember that it's one of those challenges that an adversity that I'm going to try and take advantage of, and it'll make me a better person. So thank you for everybody that's reached out. Once again, let's go get it.
A lot of young quarterbacks. Burrow had a bad injury. Brady, remember, missed a season.
Yeah.
He's not unique. Like, a lot. Aaron Rodgers has had two collarbone breaks. Like, it happens.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's not going to be able to recover from this.
He'll be fine.
It's not. We're seeing Derrick Henry's back. Cam Akers came back. Like, yeah. He's going to be fine. He'll start physical therapy on his shoulder next week.
You know, I was just talking during the break. You heard this, but the audience didn't. Before I brought on Emmanuel Sanders in the break, I was talking to him, and we were talking about injuries. I said, it's amazing how healthy, once again, at the end of the year with an extra game, how healthy these teams are and how beat up NBA teams are. And Emmanuel pointed to something. He goes, when I came in this league, he goes, we had two-a-day practices, and they were both physical. He's like, now we have one practice. They're shorter, and they don't hit as much.
Right.
And he goes, the quality of the trainers in the league, the quality of the food. He's like, I could eat literally salmon. I mean, it's vegetables, salmon, fruits. He goes, the quality of the food in the facilities over the last 5 years, the quality of the training and the nutrition. Like, they added a game this year. Outside of Robert Woods, Rams are totally healthy. Outside of Chris Godwin, everybody's capable of playing for the Bucs. Now, think about that. Kansas City last year had the Mitchell Schwartz injury. But, I mean, if you look at Buffalo, healthy, Kansas City. Now, Buffalo's missing one corner, a good one.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners are the most banged up this weekend. Cincinnati has a couple injuries as well.
Cincinnati's the one team that, and by the way, that was just last week, and they lost two defensive linemen.
Yeah, same with San Francisco.
But by and large, if I think both Bosa and Fred Warner will play. The NFL, 5 or 6 years ago, there were legitimate people saying, I don't know the future of this league, CTE. The NFL has so quickly pivoted to easier practices. Starters don't play in the preseason, shorten the preseason, better nutrition, better training. We now have guys coming back in season that just shows you the revolution of what's going on. The
Injuries that years ago would have taken a year and a half to come back, like a whole year and a half, not like a season.
I thought J.J. Watt was out for the year. I didn't even think it was a debate.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that we were arguing about it.
Yeah, no, they're coming back almost 100%. Like, despite, you know, what you hear out there, doctors are still very smart and they update their information as they get it. So there are great advances in medicine. Guys are healthier now. So when they are injured, it's easier to come back from. When you have an injury like that, if you're already strong, you're halfway there. Like, you don't have as much to recover from. When you are recovering, you're able to stay in shape through different exercises. So your body's not completely falling apart. He's going to be fine. He did have a ton of injuries this year, did Baker, but him coming back physically 100%, shouldn't be a concern.
Also, you want him healthy because if you ever do want to move him, not right. saying they would, trading deadline in the NFL is almost halfway through the season. You want the good, healthy Baker. What's interesting, though, Baker's had some really good weapons. The weakness of the Browns next year, this will be interesting. They have to draft two receivers. So all the mock drafts have them taking either Drake London or Garrett Wilson for Ohio State. So it'll be the first time he's going to have – Baker's not going to have the greatest weapons on the outside. They have a hole in their team, and it's a bad hole in 2022. They don't have Donovan Peoples-Jones. Jarvis Landry won't come back. They don't have game breakers on the outside.
Yeah.
In a division with, like, some pretty good defenses.
Well, we have seen rookie wide receivers step up and step in very seamlessly. So.
That's the good news.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Not running
news.
Your business on NetSuite's like trying to sink a championship putt with a hat over your eyes. NetSuite by Oracle's the number one cloud financial system, gives you visibility over your financials, inventory, budgeting, and more, and control. New year, new financing. Go to netsuite.com/herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
Wolf & Shepherd, favorite shoe brand. Go to wolfandshepherd.com. Amazingly comfortable shoes feel like sneakers, look like dress shoes. So Jordan Palmer is the founder of Quarterback Summit, a program that helps quarterbacks reach their potential. He's worked with Mahomes and Burrow and Herbert and Allen and Trevor Lawrence, a younger brother, of course, of Carson Palmer, who had a storied 15-year career, and Jordan Palmer is joining us. So you know Joe Burrow. You love Joe Burrow. What did you make of his debut? What did you see? I said this earlier today. I honestly feel like sometimes we forget the NFL is a developmental league, and I honestly feel in the last 8 weeks that Burrow's taken a step. I always liked him. In the last 8 weeks, I'm like, it's just something. He's seeing the field better. He's more – not that he was ever played fast, but he's gotten out of the bad throw business, which all young quarterbacks go through it. I don't know. What did you make of his debut, playoff debut?
Well, I think it was more of the same. You know, he's on a little streak right here of five or six games where he's playing about as good a football as we've seen in a long time. I know that you've been a fan of him as well. But I think as guys progress and they get into the NFL and they go from amateur to pro and then they go from pro to franchise guy and then from franchise guy to champion, that kind of process, the word I use is control. They've got to control three things. They've got to control mentally what's going on. They have to see the pressure coming. They've got to have the answer immediately. They've got to see the coverage, make quick decisions. So mentally, they've got to be in control. Emotionally, they've got to control the moment. Can't be too big. I was asked in the media last week, you know, does this 31-year playoff drought have an effect on Joe Burrow? No, because he's in complete control of his emotions. He doesn't care. It's just the Raiders. Here we go. And then you got to be able to control the ball. This time of year, you got to control them in the elements. It's not just throwing to an open guy. What tempo, what trajectory are you putting on the ball? And so I just think the last six or so weeks for Joe Burrow, I've seen him now get to the level of control in all three of those phases that we saw last when he was an LSU Tiger.
You know, Josh Allen, his history so far has been, he spikes. He'll have these insane games and a struggle. Insane games, then he struggles. Some of it's protection. He's young. It, like you said, takes a while to get refined in this game, so you take out the spikes and you're more kind of consistent. But what did you see against the Patriots from Josh Allen that, I mean, obviously he was sensational, but what did you see?
I think the part that not a lot of people are talking about because the stats were so gaudy is that weather, how difficult it is to throw in that weather. I don't care who you are. But we're just seeing a guy who, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I think he thinks he's the best player on the planet. I'd probably say that about Joe too. And I bet Patrick feels that way. I bet all these quarterbacks at the end feel that way. But when you really do feel like you can't be stopped and then you have the same amount of confidence in the resources around you that you do in yourself. He's got that type of confidence in Dawson Knox, in Stephon Diggs, in McKenzie, in Brian Daboll, in the defense, in his kicker. I just think that you have, this is peak confidence now. And the one thing we've learned about Josh Allen, as he's been up and down at times, is when he's down, it has no bearing on what he's going to do next week. His ability to move on is as elite as his arm talent, in my opinion.
I want to ask you about this. There's going to be a lot of coaching moves in the NFL. There's going to be seven of them. And, you know, listen, I that's why I said about Matt Nagy. Okay, now Justin Fields gets another playbook and another system and another culture. You cross your fingers because, you know, how many misses can you get? And so, you know, what do you make about all these coaching changes and how it affects young quarterbacks?
Well, I just think I don't think of teams as teams. I don't think of them as the Bengals or the Bills. I think of them as companies. This is a top-down thing. Look, there's a handful of teams that are going to be in it every year because they're ran the right way. You know this. And so what happens is teams draft a quarterback, and then they try and build around the quarterback as opposed to getting the organization in a position where they're ready to develop a quarterback. I've said this multiple times. I believe that teams bust on developing a quarterback far more often than it was just that quarterback is a bust. I've seen it time and time again. And so we're going to look, and here we go, seven new teams, and a handful of them already have a young quarterback, and they're going to try and build around them. But what they've got to be able to do is not have so much pressure on early success of the players, and honestly, the media has as much to do with that as anything, but make it really truly about the development of the player. And so as these teams come in, and Justin Fields, for example, it's not who's the coach and the coordinator. It's not even who's the quarterback coach. It's what does this kid need to be able to develop over the next 12 months, and how are we going to put him in a position where that's all he hears for 12 months? So who his quarterback coach is, who his private quarterback coach is, what the strength coach is, who if he has a personal trainer. You really want to develop, you need a young player to hear the same things 12 months out of the year. And when you look at the Chiefs, last week I saw Travis Kelce run an over route, but I saw him like stutter at the hash. What that is they've completed that ball so many times, they're now running things off of the things they've been running them off of, right? I think in the telecast they said, we have to evolve. The concepts we're already working, we've got to create variations off of them and iterations. And that's really what you're seeing. Well, you only get that because Patrick Mahomes has had Kafka, the quarterback coach, Andy Reid, Bieniemy, Chad Henne is a backup, and a lot of the same players around him. So yes, it's the head coach is relevant, but it's the entire development of the player that a couple of teams and organizations have right, and the rest of them are looking.
You know, I said this yesterday. I'm for the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness. But all eight quarterbacks who started last weekend, junior college, doubted, dropped in the draft, none of these guys were, Stafford, 13 years in Detroit. They were overcomers. All of them. Every single one. Burrow had to transfer. He had an injury. And I worry about the transfer portal. I think, the minute I don't start, I'm just going to go to another place. Transfer again. And now there's bidding wars for a high school quarterback. I'm going to be a millionaire at 18. And I'm for the stuff. I mean, the world evolves. I'm good with it. But, you know, the landscape is really changing in college football. Is that good or bad for college quarterbacks?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot of both. I think there's going to be some players where the worst thing you could possibly do to that kid at that age is give him a bunch of money. This happens in all professional sports. Now we're just bumping it up. But the other thing is it is going to create competition in a unique way. In that, unfortunately, I think we're going to see the mid-major schools, places like my alma mater, UTEP. I'm training a quarterback, Carson Strong, right now from Nevada.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's from Wyoming. Those schools are going to turn into junior colleges. They're going to turn into a place where a player only has one offer. I only had one offer. Player only has one offer and all of a sudden can go, well, I'm making nothing here. I can make more there. And it might be a lateral move, but these mid-major schools, unfortunately, are going to become like development, like AAA baseball for the bigger programs. But at the same time, it's going to force the quarterbacks who are going to make it and who are going to be drafted in the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, it's going to allow those guys to develop more professionally at a young age, because they're going to have to now worry about money and taxes and all these other things. So I do think there's a lot of negatives and positives. One of the positives I see is the kids who end up making it, they may not have gone through quite as much adversity as the guys that you mentioned, but I think they're also going to get introduced to being a professional and what that means at a younger age. So when it nets out, it's still the Wild Wild West. We'll see.
Yeah. By the way, the quarterbacksummitcamp.com, they're going on the road. They're like U2. They're Bon Jovi. They're going on the road for a camp tour all across the country over the next 6 months. And we only got about a minute left, but I feel right now the quarterback play, I've never seen this many talented people playing it. You're seeing guys at 13 and 14 years old. Do you believe that?
100%. When I was in high school, we had one 7-on-7 tournament. I graduated in 2002. We had one 7-on-7 tournament. You know, that was it. Nowadays, these kids play on two or three teams. So by the time they get to high school and college, they've been exposed. They've been on social media. They've had to watch what they say. They've been interviewed. I just think they're more exposed to all the stuff that big-time quarterbacks do at a younger age, now add money. And so by the time they get ready to play in college, we're seeing more freshmen play at a high level, and we're seeing more first- and second-year quarterbacks in the NFL play at a high level too. It's a byproduct of just the evolution of how big the position's gotten at a young age.
Great stuff. Jordan Palmer, Quarterback Summit. Quarterbacksummitcamp.com. Good seeing you, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
He's great. What's interesting, the media tends to do this. They see something, and it's pro-athlete, and they think it's all good. Transfer portal is going to be great for some. Like, USC is able to rebuild their program way fast. Miami, you can rebuild your program in half the time. I mean, USC just landed. They've in the last 2 weeks, they've literally wide receiver, corners, six new transfers, totally game-changing players. It's like, oh, that's not the way it worked. So it's going to demand that coaches like Lincoln Riley by year two, I want to see some W's. So the transfer portal is great if you're rebuilding your program. It's really good for these schools that have a history. They get a new coach, and you don't have to just rely on high school players, because junior college players were all, it was always a little dicey, and there was academic qualification issues. And so the transfer portal is great for a lot of these programs. Mel Tucker can literally say, oh, I can get six transfers in. I can close the gap with Michigan or whoever really fast. The downside, the upside is for the athlete. I can go to a place, you know, a lot of these coaches are car salesmen. You know, coach BS's me, I'm out of here. But I also think it's like growing up with a kid with money, you get used to it. And then when you don't, you're spoiled. Like, are kids going to transfer out of situations that really they would have overcome anyway? Like, because people get hurt all the time. So you transfer, I want to go play. And the starter gets hurt 2 weeks later, and you would have played. And now you got to start over. And I think I just think when I look at the transfer portal, I'm for it. Although I do think September 1 to December 1, for the integrity of the regular season, I would say no transferring. NFL's got a trade deadline, a free agency period. For the integrity of the season, you can't transfer for 4 months in the season. The minute that the regular season's over, if you want to transfer before a bowl, you do whatever you want. Name, image, likeness, I have no problem with it, but I don't think it's intended to create bidding wars for high school players. I think what it's for is for the guys that are at the programs, name, image, likeness, get them some money. Now it's just, there's one school in the SEC that paid $1 million for five different high schoolers. I'm happy for the kid, but are those kids, is that the best place for them? I wouldn't turn down $1 million either. But that doesn't mean developmentally that, so the highest bidder wins. You know, you used to think about like development and coaching and that coach's history of developing players, and like Lincoln Riley, quarterbacks end up number one picks. But what if USC didn't offer the most? So there's a lot of things out there with it. Most of it's good, but there's some landmines. Speak for Yourself is next.